Hi, everyone. This is Kim McLaughlin, and we are at our fifth week of emotional eating solutions, and I am so glad you all are here, everybody that is on the line. Welcome. Anybody that is listening to the playback, welcome. This is it's just been so wonderful going all over all this information with you guys and getting a good idea about what's going on. I just want you to know that sometimes I'm still trying to figure it out with the conference call people. If your phone line gets dropped, just call right back in and you should be able to stay on the line. Let me know if you're having any trouble, but I had been talking with them and they said there's nothing wrong with the line. And I just want to make sure that everybody feels like they are able to stay on the line and that if they get dropped, just call right back in. And so that's a little bit of the housekeeping. What I wanted to know is if anybody has any questions from last week or any of the weeks about what's going on or kind of feeling like they're struggling or have some success, anybody want to share? No? Okay, good. So I'm gonna take it that everybody feels like they're on track. And if you don't, give me an email to let me know so I can kind of address anything that if you feel like you're not on track. Because I really want this to be successful, and I know it's not always, it doesn't always feel comfortable doing it on a line where you want everybody to hear. It might come up for you at nighttime where you think, God, I wish I could ask him a question, and feel free to just email me, you know, pop me an email so we can get whatever fix that might be going on for you. So this week we are talking about what I'm going to call lifestyle. I think that's kind of the best way to call it is lifestyle. And lifestyle means how we go about our day and how food affects us, because the thing about food that's different than anything else in our lives is that we have to have it at least three times a day. And there are other substances that we use for emotions or whatever that we can move away from. And those are things like alcohol. We don't have to have alcohol to live. We don't have to have gambling to live. We don't have to have drugs to live. And there are those things that people do to kind of move away from feelings that they don't have to have in their lives. With food, we have to have it. We have to have it to live, and that's why this process that we're going through is so important, because we can never get away from eating or not eating. And what happened was everything just got really disconnected between the idea of being hungry, eating, and stopping when we're full. We lost that connection, that physical connection with food and with hunger. And other things have kind of gotten in the way. I call it the puzzle pieces of figuring out why we emotionally eat. So I just want to go through what all we've already been learning and talking about and kind of ground us for where we're going to be at today. So on the previous week, which we've got to go over it, as I just said, we talked about dieting and how dieting sets us up to binge. The idea of, and I really think a diet is always in the eye of the beholder. I say that all the time. And that if it feels restricting, then you should look at whether it's a diet or not. If the way that you eat feels restricting, I want you to really consider, is this a diet? Because what we know is that dieting, restricting will, at some point in time, lead us to binge and overeat because we're using kind of this outside force, this outside plan, rather than, you know, whatever the diet is, rather than using our body. And this process of mindful eating, intuitive eating, is really about getting back in touch with our bodies to give us the information to help us decide when to eat, and then to get in touch with our bodies and trust our bodies that we can figure out what to eat that's helpful and healthy for us. I was just talking with somebody, a client, earlier today about her not trusting what to eat, and that she says, you know, she just wants to eat whatever she wants whenever she wants. It's like, well, you can eat whatever you want whenever you want, but it needs to be with the idea that, am I hungry at the start? Is the food that I'm going to eat, is it going to nourish my body and give me the fuel that I need to do the things that I need to do? And am I stopping when I'm full? And what my suspicion is what I told her, is that I think whenever we say, I want to eat what I want whenever I want it, is really code for, I want to be able to binge. And what we find consistently is that if we binge, we're not ultimately going to feel good about ourselves. I think we all, you know, on this call and everybody that we know can agree that ultimately we don't feel good by binging, and the dieting, the restricting, sets us up to binge. I keep saying that every week because I think it's one of those pieces of information that can get lost and have us keep remembering and wondering, am I thinking about dieting? What's going on for me? If I am thinking about dieting, what does that mean for me? What's coming up for me that I'm thinking that I want to go on a diet? The second week we talked about our body in terms of food and the idea of getting connected to hungry and full, and noticing how we're feeling in our body, noticing what hungry feels, what a little bit of hungry feels, what a lot of hungry feels, what, noticing what satisfied feels like, and noticing what full and overfull feel like. And that's really important to get us back in touch with what is really the starting spot for eating, and it's our body. Because the food is really about what we need to nourish ourselves to get through the day in a healthy manner. So that's when we talk about food in terms of being hungry and full. The third week, what we talked about was in the list of emotional eating, we talked about emotions and how emotions get in the way of us knowing what we should eat, when we should eat. And how I think of it is that, you know, if you have a starting spot, this kind of circle, and you put feelings in it, and if the feelings lead to, it's a line leading to overeating, after you eat and you feel good, but then afterward you have the feelings of shame and guilt. Generally, those always come in. I feel bad about myself. I can't believe I did that. I'm not happy with myself. And then on top of those feelings of shame and guilt, you have feelings of the feelings that were at the start. Those might be sad, upset, lonely, bored. So really, after we emotionally eat, after we eat for emotional reasons, we actually end up, in the bigger picture, feeling worse rather than better. And our intention from the start is to feel better. And there is a moment in time where we do feel better, when we're emotionally eating, because it kind of lights up our brain to have this food. We're thinking about it. It sounds good. It feels good. And that can last, you know, from 1 minute, 5 minutes, you know, during the amount of time you eat. I find generally it will stop even while you're eating. The positive feelings will stop because we'll start berating ourselves, or we'll start to berate ourselves and tell ourselves that we're wrong and not okay by what we've done. And so the feelings get worse. The feelings get bigger. which means we're more apt the next time to overeat. And last week what we talked about is the thoughts and the thoughts that come up that lead us to the thoughts that lead us to those feelings that lead us to eating. And the thoughts are, that looks really yummy, I deserve it, I've had such a long day, I don't know what I would, I don't think I can say no to this. All those kind of things happen, and we start thinking about it. And what we talked about was the idea of looking at those thoughts, noticing those thoughts, and recognizing that they actually are not real. And they're telling us to do something that isn't good for us. And I always say, just because you think it doesn't mean you have to act upon it. And sometimes when there's thoughts connected to eating, thoughts connected to the feelings connected to the eating, the thoughts, we just think, oh, because I think it, it means it's true. And I'm here to tell you that it's not. Just because you think, oh, I have to eat it, I have to eat it, I have to eat it, I can't stand this feeling if I don't eat it, I can't stand it if I don't eat it, I can't stand it. Those thoughts are really those ego thoughts that are not for your highest good, for your best good. And if we do things to either challenge them, sometimes I'll say, you know what, nah, not true. And I'll just say, I don't kind of fight the thoughts, but I just more say, yeah, no, not really true for me right now. I'm going to go do something else. Or I at least notice them as they're coming up, to start seeing them and allow them just to pass by, because they can be pretty pretty insidious, or I'm not coming up with the right good word for it, but they can be pretty demanding that we really act upon them. Is there any questions about this? Anything coming up as I'm talking about this that anybody wants to say right now about any of the getting back and kind of rehashing what we just were talking about the last couple of weeks? No? Okay. I want to talk, as we talk about going into lifestyle, I just want you to know that where we're at in the part of this process is we're at the part where you might be thinking about giving up. You might say, heck with it, I'm gaining weight. I'm going to put you guys on mute, and if you want to ask a question, raise your hand. Or I'm sorry, I'm going to put you in the Q&A queue. So if you just do, what is it, star 6, if you want to raise your hand to ask a question. So just remember, we're in Q&A session right now, so if you want to raise your hand, there's a little bit of noise from you guys in the background, so I just put you on Q&A. So just do star 6 if you want to ask a question or make a statement. So what, you know, we're at the 5th week, and I want you to know that you could start having thoughts, or maybe you've already had them. The thought of, I want to give up, this isn't going to work, I'll never make it. And that's, once again, those thoughts that are keeping you stuck. And I just want you to know that that's a real thing that really happens to people. And at first we think, oh, my gosh, this is so great. I'm going to get in touch with my feelings, or I'm going to get in touch with food. I'm going to feel better about myself. I'm going to eat differently. I might lose weight. This is really great. And then there comes a moment where you say, yeah, really? Is this really going to work? And really question yourself and question, you might even be questioning me right now with what I'm saying, yeah, Kim, right, I'm not sure this is going to work for me. And you might want to give up on the process. I was talking with somebody the other day as we've been working through this process, with her, And she talked about feeling like she wanted to give up. And part of it was because, or a big part of it was because she went to put her pants on and they didn't quite fit. They were a little snug. And that was really disconcerting to her that, you know, it's like, I'm talking about this, I'm looking at my feelings, I'm looking at food in a different way, and I've gained a little bit of weight. And we talked about that, and we talked about her process of noticing it and thinking about it and wanting to run away and just do something different. And what became clear is that her thought was, as well, I could go on a diet. I could restrict my food, and I could lose weight, and that will make it all better. And then she thought twice about it and thought, no, that's not going to work anymore. I'm not going to get on that diet binge cycle. And what I think about when this happens, and it's not uncommon, and what it is if you're gaining any weight, a little bit of weight, or you are finding you're plateauing, or you're finding that you want to give up, it's normal. It happens. And it's part of the process of you figuring out how to do it differently. And what I would challenge you to do is to start thinking about what it is you really want your goal to be. And this is not about the plan that I talk about, this kind of a plan, this emotional eating solution plan, is really about a lifelong plan. It's not about a diet where we start and we stop. And so really what we're doing is we're in for the long haul. We're in for how you're going to eat for the rest of your life. We're developing understanding and ideas and actions that will last you for forever. Whereas what happens is when we think of, oh, I've gained a little bit of weight when I'm trying to learn something new, what we think of is the whole diet mindset of, oh, well, then I need to stop. And I'm here to tell you that that's not going to be helpful. And what is helpful is to start noticing, and this is what I told this person that had gained a little bit of weight. I had said, good for you for noticing quickly that you were gaining a little bit of weight. And that when we start noticing our body, and that if it is gaining a little weight and noticing it through the way our clothes are fitting, the way we're feeling physically, that then we can do something about it. And what I loved about it was it was really only a couple of pounds into it. It wasn't like what normally can happen for us is that we wait days and days and days and not notice it, months and months and months and not acknowledge it, and then a year or 2 years go by, and then we finally one day say, oh my God, I've gained 30 pounds, I've gained 40 pounds, I've gained 50 pounds. And it was because we really became unconscious to noticing what's really going on over all of that time. And so I say good for you that you're noticing it, because when you notice it, then we can do something about it. So that's that paying attention to what's going on in your body and just knowing that it can be the barometer for everything that's going on. So what I ask this person is, so what makes you, why do you think you gained a little bit of weight? And she wasn't quite sure. And through the process of talking about it, what we found out was that her thought was is that if that really what she called what we were talking about is more of a plan for kind of eating everything that you can eat. You know, if we don't have any kind of restrictions on what food we eat and the time of when we eat, and the type of food and the amount, that if there's no restriction, then that means we can eat anything we want whenever we want. And that isn't true. It can't work that way. To eat whatever we want, whenever we want, is really like a binge. So it's noticing that if you have that thought of, I really want to eat whatever I want, whenever I want, that's really a binge, an emotional eating thought. So notice that for yourself, because that's what gets us in trouble, is that we think of when we say, oh, we're going to reconnect to our bodies, eat when we're hungry, eat what satisfies us, and stop when we're full, then that means it's a free-for-all, and it's not. So let me see. I think I worked that one through a lot. I just want you to know that kind of behavior can be a sabotage, and it can set you back. But I'm here to say you can get back on track. So that might not be anything that's going on for any of you right now, but I just want you to know, in case it does come up, that it's a great way to get back on track, notice what's going on, and start getting back to, am I hungry? What will satisfy my body? What does my body really need? And stop when I'm full. Okay? If there's any questions, you can do *6. Raise your hand. If there's any questions about any of that, we could talk about it a little more, if any of it doesn't make sense. Okay. Sounds like it's clear. And once again, if it's not, later on, if you come up with questions, please feel free to email me. I can make sure it everybody understands where I'm going and also how it fits in with you and you personally. So what we're going to talk about today is the lifestyle, how we live and how we eat and how that affects our body and kind of the choices that we make. So lifestyle means, to me, is how we go about our day around food and just living our lives. And there are some lifestyle ways that we live our lives that actually can lead us to overeat and are not beneficial. And I want to point them out to you. And I know I really like Jeanine Roth. I like her stuff. And if you ever get a chance to pick up any of her books, I would recommend any one of them. I've read so many of them, and I've listened to her talk. And I love what she has to say. And she calls them the rules, or her rules. And so what I'm going to talk to you about is some of the things she calls rules. I'm going to call them strategies, because I find that if I tell you not to do something, you might rebel against me and want to do it anyway just to prove me wrong. And so I want this to be a coming to for all of you to think about what works for you and what doesn't work for you. So when we look at lifestyle, what I want you to consider is the idea of mindful eating. How can we be mindful? And one of the first things that we can think of when we talk about are we mindfully eating is where we eat. And where we eat is really important to notice. And the thing that I want you to think about is when you're eating and where you're eating and how you're eating, are you distracted? It's a really important question. And that means looking at, are you eating in front of the television? Are you eating while you're walking? Are you eating in a large group of people? Are you eating while you're reading? Are you eating while you're looking at your phone? Are you eating while you're driving? Are you eating in bed? Are you eating in front of the computer? Are you eating while you're standing up? And I want you to imagine yourself, because I suspect you guys are like me, that we've eaten in all of those kind of situations, that imagine whether you can really be mindful in any of those situations. And I'm not going to say I'm 100% on any of these things, but I am I'm doing a lot better than I ever was. I used to be the girl who would eat driving because I was too busy. I was too busy to eat at home. I was too busy. It was always breakfast was on the road, always. I would put something together, or I would stop somewhere, and I would always eat. It was generally a scone or bread or any toast or something like that. Always ate on the road to work. And it got all over me. My God, I would spill, and it would get all over me. It would get all over. My car was full of crumbs and things. It was pretty nasty. And as I started to work this process, I realized how I was not paying attention to eating. I wasn't paying attention to the food. I wasn't paying attention to how I was feeling. And also partly while you're driving and eating, I'm partly not paying attention to the road because I'm a little distracted. And what I started to have conversations with myself about that eating in the car, and my statement to myself was always, oh, I'm too busy to eat at home. Well, I realized that I wasn't honoring my body. I wasn't honoring food or myself by not taking the time, because really what it was about is I was not using my time effectively in order to give myself the time to eat at home. And I realized that that was really not healthy for me and not helpful for me. And I put a moratorium, no more eating in the car. I can't tell you it's 100. I mean, I don't eat meals. I used to eat all kinds of things in the car. I might have some nuts or something while I'm driving if I'm really hungry, but I don't eat meals in the car. It's just nothing like that happens anymore because I don't want to be distracted. My other thing, oh my gosh, I used to eat while I was in front of the computer. I would do that at work. I would say, I'm too busy to eat. I need to work in front of the computer. And one day I spilt my salad all over the top of my computer. It was a nasty mess. It was embarrassing. It was hard to clean up. Thank God it didn't burn up my computer. But it really hit me then that I need to stop this and I need to do things differently. I think that we need to look at not being distracted while we're eating. And one of the biggest distractions is television. And in our house, the television goes off when we're eating food. I think the only times we eat in front of the TV is at the Super Bowl. And that's maybe it. We eat in front of the television when we're watching the Super Bowl. And that's probably about it. But there's really it's just kind of a rule about not having the TV on. All those things, the TV, reading, driving, eating in bed, on the computer, standing up in front of the sink, is really a sign that we're not taking care of ourselves. And so I know I'm kind of going on and on about this to kind of help, but what I want you to do is I want to help you look at whether this is happening to you. And distracted eating means we're not paying attention. So I want you to consider what might be your strategy to not be distracted while you eat. What I like, once again, about Jeanine Roth is what she says is that we need to honor ourselves and honor food by having a time to eat. And that means sitting down while we eat. And that means eating from a plate with our portion on the plate. That means using utensils. That means using a napkin. And she even takes it so far as to talk about having a pretty table, making it enjoyable, use good china or whatever, or good items, not to just put anything on the table, but really make it pretty and really enjoyable. Because what we find is that if our senses are filled up as we're eating, we get more filled up by the food. So I want you to think about right now, where do you eat? And is it a place for you to be distracted? I know some days I work, some nights I work late, and I don't eat until later than I'd really like. And, excuse me, I find that I go home and I might eat And it's sometimes just carrots or something, but I'm eating it over the sink while I'm waiting for my food to cook, because I'm, what happens is that I can eat that distract, I can eat distractedly when I'm too hungry. And I will have to then tell myself, okay, Kim, what's going on? Why are you eating distracted right now? And I have these little inner conversations with myself to help me remember, okay, what's going on? And I'll say to myself, oh, I'm too hungry right now. Okay, let's get something quick that we can eat, and let's go sit down. That's how I talk to myself. Let's go sit down, and let's eat right now because we're too hungry, and then maybe make a little bit more of a larger meal after I get a little something in myself. And I try to not get that hungry, but sometimes it's hard. And I notice if I'm thinking about eating in the car, or thinking about eating in front of the computer, or thinking about eating in front of the television set, that or eating standing up, that I might be distracted. And I ask myself, what's going on? And what can I do to get myself so I can sit down, have things on a plate, have silverware, have a napkin, and be able to really focus on the food? So that is one of the bigger strategies about how you manage your life throughout the day, is where do we eat, and where, you know, what would be a plan of action that would work best for you? So another lifestyle piece that comes in is using food to combat feelings. And these feelings I find happen pretty often with a lot of people. So I'm going to mention it because you guys might be feeling this way too. But what I find happens is that in terms of that lifestyle issue is the evening time can be very difficult for a lot of people that I work with. A lot of people, I'd say even a majority of the people that I work with, have a really difficult time at night in terms of boredom and loneliness. And it even happens for people even when they have others around them. And it's feeling kind of dissatisfied, maybe feeling dissatisfied with the day, feeling off, feeling bored, feeling lonely. And I think often what happens is it's because we've had all these feelings during the day that we haven't dealt with. And then it comes up in the evening when there's a little bit more downtime. So I want you to notice if boredom, loneliness, dissatisfaction, if those feelings come up in the evening, because those often, I find, are the feelings that lead people to mindlessly eat in front of the television. That's a lot of where I hear it happens, is that it's in front of the television in the evening because we're dissatisfied. And I want to, one, put this information out so you can notice it and start noticing if that's going on for you. And then begin to wonder if it's really in your best interest. Is it really in my best interest to eat in front of the television? Because what I find is that people eat things that they wouldn't normally eat, and they eat amounts that they wouldn't normally eat. And then wonder, what do I need to do instead? And first it is, am I hungry? Am I really hungry? And if I am, let's eat. Let's get something to eat and sit at the table and sit with my silverware and my napkin and my plate, and let's eat something and eat what feels good, what nourishes me, and what my body needs at that moment. So one is to notice if you're hungry and deal with that. The second is to ask yourself, what's going on that I'm feeling bored? What's going on that I'm feeling lonely? What's going on that I feel dissatisfied? And begin to question yourself about that in order to start noticing what's leading to that. Sometimes people are bored in the evening because they don't have it. What I find is that because they don't have anything to do, they don't have any kind of strategy for the evening. The evening is all about coming home and sitting in front of the television. And part of that, I find, is part of it is because they're having a lot of feelings come up through the day that they haven't been dealing with. And you can deal with the feelings at nighttime, but I would also invite you to imagine what's going on during the day that maybe I'm not dealing with feelings that are going on. I've talked before about feeling stressed at work, feeling dissatisfied at work. And I had to make some peace with all of that because it would make me eat at nighttime. And I didn't want to do that. It actually would make me eat those late times, you know, that late afternoon snacks. And so I had to think about what could I do differently and how could I manage these feelings. So if you're noticing that you're coming home feeling stressed, is it something about your day? And what could you do about that? Sometimes what we don't do is really do, I think we do our culture, and you know, maybe it's just me, but I think a lot of us do mindless television watching. Or, oh, now there's this mindless playing games on the computer or mindless being on Facebook for hours and hours. And it's not always, it's generally kind of a time suck is what I call it, and I think a lot of us call it is a time suck. And it can often be because we don't know what else to do. And I want you to start imagining, what could I do that would be fulfilling for me? What could I do that would give me pleasure? What is healthy and helpful for me? Because that mindless behavior can take us off track. And for those of us that emotionally eat, it can take us off track in terms of, in the end, emotionally eating. So I want to invite you to notice what goes on for you in the evening. And if feelings are coming up, start strategizing what you could do about that. And next, what I want to talk, and once again, if anybody has any questions, just star 6, so raise your hand if you have a question or if anything doesn't make any sense or if you have something you want to add. Next about lifestyle is I want you to notice whether you're eating satisfying foods. And I call those yummy foods. Are you eating foods that taste good, that satisfy you? Or are you eating foods that are more diet foods, the ones that are lower in calories, the ones that don't have any fat, the ones that don't taste really good? Or are you eating things, I love this, I was reading about this earlier today, is air food, quote-unquote air food. And those are the foods that are kind of airy that, you know, we kind of try to eat to fill us up, but they're not satisfying. And that would be like popcorn or whatever kind of things that are, I'm not thinking of the word, I'm seeing it in my head, I'm not able to come up with the word. But it's more that kind of popcorn kind of food that's just air food that you eat it and you go, man, I didn't feel like I got any satisfaction out of that. But they're kind of pretend foods that don't really fill us up and aren't satisfying and give us absolutely no energy to do anything. Looking at in your day, are you really focusing on the satisfaction? And is your food satisfying? And some of you might be saying, well, Kim, the only satisfying foods are the foods I can't eat. Well, that's not true. There's a lot of ways to make food yummy, and I would encourage you that every meal, everything that you eat should be yummy. And I've really taken to adding spices to my foods, adding things that make them a little bit more yummy instead of just having like an apple. I'll have an apple with some almond butter, which I find is super yummy. Instead of having a carrot by itself, I'll have a carrot with some hummus, which I find is really yummy. I add cinnamon to my smoothies because that's yummy. I just add stuff. I've been adding, I love to add cilantro to my salads because that's yummy. And I just look at every meal as an opportunity to be satisfied. And if you're focusing on food being satisfying, you're going to feel emotionally satisfied. Because remember, we use food to satisfy emotions. And if it tastes yummy, that's just such a satisfying feeling. So I really want to encourage you to make sure that every meal, every snack is something that's yummy to you. And yummy in a nourishing way that really makes you go, oh, yummy. Because I tell you, you know, I got a salad today for my lunch, and it's super yummy. I'm looking forward to it later on because I find it's really satisfying for me. And lastly, what I want to talk about in terms of lifestyle is, are you using anything to combat hunger? Are you, besides food, are you using things? Because there's this diet mentality that I want to point out that I'm not sure if any of you guys use it, but I definitely was on that track before, is using any kind of drinks to satisfy hunger. So you might be using coffee or caffeine. You might be using diet soda to combat hunger. I remember that used to be the thing on every diet I was ever on. Well, if you feel hungry and you don't have any, you know, if there's no more food left to eat on your plan, have a Diet Coke or have some coffee or have some water. And it was using it to not be hungry. And if you're physically hungry, have food. Allow yourself to eat. Eat when you're hungry. Eat what satisfies your body and stop when you're full. And move away from using coffee and diet soda to combat hungry. What I do know, and nutritionists have said it, doctors say it all the time, I am neither of those, I'm not a nutritionist, I'm not a doctor, but I have found that drinking more water actually seems to take away that non-physical hunger. I still have physical hunger, but kind of that other hunger, that mouth hunger, that emotional hunger really feels less when I drink enough water. So that does, and it's just physiological, that sometimes our hunger is because we need water. And so using more water, from what all the nutritionists have told me, is very beneficial and very helpful. So, and it's not about being on a diet and drinking more water. It's about being healthy and drinking more water. So today what we talked about is how to manage our lifestyle differently, and the overarching factor of it is being mindful. I want you to consider how you can be more mindful around food and how your lifestyle, maybe the quick lifestyle, the eating in front of the computer, the eating in front of the television, going to the store hungry, in the evenings being really stressed out and not knowing what to do with yourself except eat, eating satisfying food, are all mindful ways to honor your hunger and honor yourself and start living your managing your day a little differently. So I encourage you to be more mindful this week. And that means taking a deep breath and noticing, am I hungry right now? Am I having a feeling right now? What is my head saying to me right now? Am I taking care of myself right now? And be more mindful in terms of how you take care of yourself. I encourage you also to continue developing more plans of what you can do to take care of yourself every day. I think, you know, we came up with some today about just how you manage the table. Maybe making a pretty table for yourself could be a really great way to start taking better care of yourself. I know I really enjoy it when we have a tablecloth on the table and placemats on the table and a little centerpiece to have the table cleaned off. Makes me feel real good. It also makes me feel real good when the kitchen is clean, when the refrigerator is clean. Those are all satisfying things to me that make me feel a lot better. So I want to encourage you to just notice what in your environment, what part of your lifestyle are you doing that maybe is leading you off the path of being mindful, and consider doing something differently to bring yourself on the path of being more mindful. I'm going to open it up for any. So you guys are off mute. Does anybody have any questions or anything else they want to add before we close out today? Okay. I'm going to take that as a no, that everybody feels satisfied and they've gotten exactly what they need today. I am so excited for you guys moving forward with this. I will send out the link to the call later on today, and if notice in the email I send out that we have a web page that you can go to get caught up on everything that we've done. I am going to say goodbye, and I hope you guys have a fabulous rest of the day, and I look forward to talking to you next week. Bye-bye.